Welcome, leaders. I'm your host, Cree Edholm. It feels so good to be back after taking some time off this summer. To pull the curtain back a bit, it's been a rough year for me personally, for both myself and my family. And I share this because going through challenges in life will absolutely happen to all of us. And for me, it highlights the importance of realizing priorities, you know, what's important, what's not important in the grand scheme of things. Practicing self-care, and understanding that saying no is not only okay, sometimes it's a must. The other theme that has emerged in all of this is support, recognizing when you need it and then being able to lean into it. Today's guest couldn't be more fitting. Lilia Friedlander is one of those people who makes it easy to lean, a remarkable lady with an intriguing story of business, family, and living a life with intention. And with that, we welcome you to the Leadership Looks Like podcast. Join us as we explore personal stories of leaders who are making an incredible impact in their businesses, lives, and communities. Get ready to be inspired, see things from a new perspective, and learn new tools to help overcome challenges. This is what leadership looks like. Lil, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you, Cree. I'm so pleased to be here.
I am so happy you're here. Now, we run in a lot of the same circles.
We do.
We're both a part of NABO.
Yes.
Which is the National Association of Women Business Owners.
Yes.
We're part of the Southern Nevada chapter.
Yes.
Which is how we met.
Yes.
And you do so many amazing things in the community. You have an interesting business and life story, and I can't wait to dig in.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm ready.
Yeah. Tell us about Tough Skin.
Oh, so Tough Skin was developed by my husband and our company, our team. Back in 2005, the idea came, and in 2007, we created the LLC, and it was its own entity at that time. And Tough Skin was a solution and is a solution to a problem that we had no idea was out there. We were unfamiliar with natural stone and how some natural stones, calcium-based natural stones, have a propensity for etching and staining, which is, you know, these white marks, and coffee can stain and red wine can stain these beautiful natural countertops, and there's no sealer to protect them. So out of owning a window film company, my husband, you know, said, I'll just take a window film and put it on a piece of marble and let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. And because nothing could touch the stone, nothing could damage the stone. And we found that if we tweaked the product, the film a little bit, then it made it so that it lays down on the stone beautifully. It has its own specific adhesive made for stone. It's a breathable polyester. And this hard coat that we have is superior to anything else on the market. So we really designed a thin film technology for stone.
Yeah. What was the catalyst for even trying to put your stone on a countertop to protect it?
Well, what happened was Frank was at one of the hotel casinos that we serviced.
And Frank's your husband.
Frank's my husband. Yes. And it's you know, we did window film back in the day, designer film products as well. And he was working with a hotel operations guy. And he said to Frank, do you know anything about stone? I'm having a really hard time. It was a 24-hour cafe that had red marble tops throughout the entire cafe. And they were having to remove tables out of the cafe and take them down into their basement and refinish them and bring them back. And this was a process that happened on a weekly basis because they were constantly being damaged and they were exhausted. They were like, this is not a solution. We need a solution for this. And so we protect countertops, tables, bars, vanities, bureaus and hotel rooms. Hotel rooms are really our sweet spot. That's where the product lasts the longest and gives the most bang for the buck. Mm-hmm. But, you know, out of this need for marble protection is the development and how Tough Skin was born.
Yeah, I'm always fascinated by the way that businesses are started.
I know.
Because the thing that I love about this story is, you know, you were in one business.
Yes.
Somebody comes to you with a problem.
Yes.
You help them solve their challenge, which is just in one location.
Yes.
And what is it about that that makes you go, you know what? This could be a business. And you know what else? I'm going to go do this.
Yeah. It was, I think our first big project was the Bellagio remodel and the spa tower back in 2011, 2012 during the recession. And although, I mean, it was definitely our first big deal, and we saw how it was really serving the need. And I think the reception of the product by the people within the hotel industry and the people that we were working with were so satisfied. It brought, you know, like Frank and I went, it was like the light bulb went on, and we were like, oh my gosh, if it is working here at the Bellagio, why wouldn't it work everywhere else? Mm-hmm. And so Tough Skin is now an international company. We're represented not only in the US, but in Canada, Australia, the Bahamas, Mexico, and beyond. So it's just grown leaps and bounds. You know, like you said, an idea was born, and you just never know.
And that's the risk in it, right? It's seeing that there's a challenge, discovering that you have an opportunity to create a business out of it and a livelihood out
yes.
of it.
Yes.
And then doing it.
Yes. As right? a matter of fact, well, as you mentioned earlier, we owned Las Vegas Window Tinting at the time that Tough Skin was developed and born. And we continued to run Las Vegas Window Tinting until we sold it back. It's actually 4 years ago, August 30th. This
almost,
month.
Yeah.
So it's almost 4 years that we sold the business. And we did it for a few reasons. One of the main reasons is that we knew that Tough Skin was going to take us where we wanted to go, and that Las Vegas Window Tinting had been a fabulous thing that he and I moved to Vegas in 91 to start. And 24 years later, we sold it, and we had born this new idea, and that new idea was going to get us to the place where we really wanted to be in business.
Right.
And in life.
Right. So that helped you with your transition.
It did.
Into, and also all of the lessons that you learned in owning that business.
Oh my gosh, 24 years of owning a business and running a business. You're going to learn a few things.
Right.
For sure.
Right. How many people are on your team?
Right now? Mm-hmm. 8 or 9. And that doesn't include my media team. Mm-hmm. That can conclude, I think that includes one of my media team, but right. the others are hired out. So they're not actually employees. We have like 8, 9 employees.
Yeah. So you have 8 or 9 employees that are servicing, you know, a global operation, essentially.
Well, basically those employees are here based in Vegas. Mm-hmm. Our daughter has broken off, and she's opened up her own LLC, Tough Skin of Southern California. Although she was never really an employee, she was more like an independent contractor because, well, for purposes, whatever. That's the way it worked for the structure of the business, and now she's broken off. But everybody's really like a dealer. We have a dealer network, mm-hmm. so they're not our employees. They're an extension of our product, represented in all these other areas.
Right. Which is important to point out. You don't need hundreds of employees to service a global market.
Yeah, you don't.
You know, it really, in this case or in some business cases, it doesn't really take that much, and you can impact, you know, a large area.
Yes, you can. And with our dealer network, they're all their own current businesses. They all have their own insurance, their own business licenses, and they just utilize Tough Skin as a product in their arsenal of products that they offer their clients. So we align a lot with master stone craftsmen and other people that are in the stone business, and they are able to use the product to help serve their customers.
Right. Yeah, I've kind of built my business in a similar way, you know, because of our different leadership offerings, leadership development or personal development offerings, mm-hmm. it really depends on what our clients need. And then I have partners that I bring in,
exactly.
you know, on a contractual basis. And so what that helps with a lot is the overhead and cost of a business as well.
Yes.
You know, you can expand and grow your business with strategic partnerships.
Strategic partnerships mm-hmm. and collaborations are really where it's at, I mm-hmm. think.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the future of work is heading that way. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes. So you're a family-owned business also.
We are. It's really how this all developed is just, it's mind-blowing, actually. Mm-hmm. I think, though, the excitement of Tough Skin for us perhaps oozed into the kids. Right. Our daughter is currently 28. She's sales and some marketing in that Southern California, but she does international sales. And then our son is 25 currently, and he's a master installer and trainer. So he installs Tough Skin and trains other people how to install Tough Skin. Mm-hmm. And our moniker is Get Rich in the Niche and Travel the World with Tough Skin. And that's exactly what we're doing.
Yeah.
And we're doing it with the strength of our fabulous millennials. These beautiful children have come in and infused us with great ideas and their energy and kind of not new ways of doing things, but different ways of doing things. Because Frank and I were an older generation. You know, we come from what we come from. But these kids, they're bringing in all this new info, and it enhances our business so greatly. Mm-hmm. And we like that family feel. That's how we run. That's how we operate. The people around us, the employees that we have, it feels like family. Mm-hmm. And so there's no competition. It's all about helping each other to rise and bringing the best out in each other.
Yeah. I really like what you said about millennials and being from different generations. Mm-hmm. So I was driving over here and I was listening to the radio and you know, the talk show radio. This happens to be a Friday morning in Las Vegas, so the talk show radio is on. And they were talking about millennials, but they were talking about millennials in like a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, well, what population thinks this way? The millennials. And it's time for us to adopt this new generation and way of thinking.
Yes.
You know, millennials make up a majority of the workforce now.
Yes.
And also, you know, by embracing another generation, you're able to see a new viewpoint because ultimately you're selling to millennials too.
You know? Yes. Yes, yeah. Indeed. You know, Jackie Martin, one of our mentors, she has been all about education. She's in her 80s now. And she's taught us that it's important to reach in the past and get the lessons that you can learn from the past and also to look to the future. And that's our kids. That's the young people coming up behind us that have all these newer, fresher ideas. And the world is a different place today. You know, how we market to people, how we are going to reach the people that we want to, the residential customers that we want to get the word out to. There's different ways of doing that. It's not old school anymore. People don't go to the yellow pages anymore to find right. products. So, I mean, we just recently had a team meeting where some really juicy, great ideas came from our son. And, you know, at 25, you look at him and you go, you know, good for you, buddy. This, you know, what you just brought to the table just really layered into what we're doing now and made it sweeter, made it better. And that was not an aha moment, but definitely a moment that I noted. And I shared that with Jake as well. Mm-hmm. One of the things we do we call it the core four, my husband, myself, and the two kids, is we do these masterminds where we support one another and help one another in bringing out our most creative self. So here's Jake doing his thing and talking and giving these cool views and definitely helped us shift how we were going to do some of our marketing. It was mm-hmm. great.
Yeah. That has to be a pretty wonderful feeling too as a parent and a business owner. Not only is this, you know, someone who's a part of your company, but it's also your son.
It's a tremendous amount of pride we have in watching our kids grow into being these really talented young adults, and encouraging them in positive ways, speaking good words into them, speaking faith into them, and watching them be their best selves.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. There's nothing like it.
Yeah. Is there ever a time when the four of you aren't agreeing?
Of course.
And how do you work through those moments?
We communicate. Sometimes we have to step back. Sometimes we do, you know, step back away if there's something heated going on or we have a disagreement about something that's really personal. We back away. But there's also boundaries. I think it's really important for parents and children to know that there are boundaries and that we are people and that we need to be respectful of one another. And sometimes stepping away gives us the space to be able to kind of process what, at least for me, I need to process things that might have been said or these ideas. So then I can let them marinate and find a way to come back and speak in an emotionally intelligent way. Mm-hmm. And then we can have further the conversation, and we may still agree to disagree, and that's okay. And then at that time, when I come back or when we come back, we can also speak our piece and say, you know, I feel like you've kind of gone over the boundary. I would really appreciate if you did not say it this way or did not push me in this way. And so I think being able to communicate and I think to know yourself and then be able to share that with the other person.
Right.
You know?
Right. And being able to communicate those boundaries.
Being able to communicate those boundaries.
And asking for the space.
Asking for the space. Mm-hmm. Making sure that you're getting what you need. Mm-hmm. Being respected. Yeah.
And on the flip side, if someone in your family or on your team asks for the space or communicates something to you, being receptive to,
of course,
whatever that is.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And respecting those boundaries.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Tuscan is in the process right now of, you know, I always hear you talk about how you're improving your formula, which I think is just fascinating all in itself. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're out there, you are applying your product to all sorts of different types of surfaces.
Yes.
And then how are you getting the feedback? How are you making those improvements to your product?
So we do get feedback from our dealer network, and with the current development, what's happened is our hard coat is as hard or harder than marble, and they want it harder even still. So we've developed a new hard coat, and we're going to be doing our first run of that product very soon, in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. So, and we'll be moving production. It is made in the USA. It's made in Florida. And we are looking at potentially moving the production here to Las Vegas in our own backyard. So that is absolutely fantastic. We love that piece. So I think it is about listening to the customers, both our dealer network and the people in the hotel industry. Although very often the operations person or the engineer doesn't even know Tuscan is on the stone, because the engineers very often they move from one hotel to another within a period of time. And so when the one engineer leaves, the new engineer comes on, and the old engineer doesn't tell them, oh, by the way, Tuscan's on every vanity in the hotel.
Right.
So they don't even know. So when we come back and check in with them and say, hey, how's the Tuscan doing? What are you talking about?
We have no idea.
Oh, well, let us know about Tuscan. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah. So, but anyway, getting back to our customers and satisfying their needs, we get a lot of great feedback from our dealer network and our stone specialists. And the scratch resistance piece is something very important to them and to their customers. So we're addressing that concern by creating and putting, you know, all of funding, all of the, you know, what it takes to do this. And creating this new hard coat. So we're making a whole new product again.
Right. And then do you have in-house testing? So
all the time.
I bet. Testing all the time, which
all
is typical.
The time.
Totally
mm-hmm.
typical.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if a customer comes back to you and says, we want this formula, we want it to be harder or mm-hmm. more scratch resistant or whatever mm-hmm. they say, mm-hmm. what do you do? How do you know where to go to change your formula? Like, where do you even begin with that?
Well, Frank has been, you know, in the window film business 20 8 years. I did not work with him the entire time. So it's really, this is his brainchild. Mm-hmm. And he knows a lot. He knows a lot about a lot of things. So, you know, he's very inspiring. And he, you know, well, if one of the things that we did was hired a chemist. And we knew this chemist for many years. I knew him as well from back in the day when we first started. He worked for the original manufacturer of our product. And then he's retired at some point. But we've maintained this relationship with him. So when it was time to do this, the first person that Frank reached out to was Carl Kernander and said, hey, are you, you know, consulting still? And he said, yes. And he said, well, can we hire you? And he said, well, what for? And Frank talked to him about it. And he said, I'm on board.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So exciting to work on a brand new product.
It really is. And mind you, this whole idea of protecting marble with a film product, it was unheard of. We actually created an industry back, you know, in 2007 when we did the Bellagio Hotel. People saw what we were doing and they were like, oh my gosh, that's really amazing. Mm-hmm. And you can't help but when you see it, it's a wow. You know, when you see the transformation from what the vanity was to what Tough Skin does for it and how it, the long lasting protection that it offers, it really is a wow. So, yeah, it's driven by my husband, Frank.
Yeah. Do you have competitors now?
We do, a few.
And which is, I always see that as a good thing.
Absolutely.
It's a chance for you to have some competition, improve, set yourself apart. And in creating a brand new industry, a brand new, you know, niche anywhere, that's what's going to happen, right? So how have you managed those new competitors coming on? Mm-hmm. It's got to feel a little emotional when that happens.
Yes. Yeah, especially in the beginning when I realized that there were people attempting to copy what we were doing. Truth is, they're not though. It's they are competitors in a way because they're going after a similar client, but they're not offering the same product. So if it's apples to apples, I would get it. But Tough Skin is not a window film anymore. It's a film designed for stone. Mm-hmm. And there's other people out there that are putting window film on stone. And so I beg to differ then that, yes, it's a competition, but it's not really an apples to apples competition. Mm-hmm. So we set ourselves apart by being innovative, by making these changes, by taking an original window film and changing things up, changing the adhesive, changing the hard coat, making sure that it's a breathable polyester so that the natural stone can outgas. It's about, again, it goes back to educating ourselves through the Natural Stone Institute and the educators there to find out and learn about stone and learn, like, what does it need and how can we best serve the stone that the designers want to put into these places? How can we make a product that's going to work for that? And so it's been a constant development.
Yeah. So what I'm hearing is So industry leaders, you've come to market with something that's brand new.
Brand new.
Competitors pop up. But what I'm hearing from you is that you just focus on what you're doing.
We focus on us.
Your clients, how to improve what you're doing and be the best that you can be.
That's right.
And that's where you place your focus.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Are there any challenges that come up in your mind that have popped up along the way that are kind of make or break challenges for your business and how you navigated through those challenges?
There's always challenges with business. But I think really because of who we are, the challenges really become about who we are as people. If there is a challenge, the challenge isn't about overcoming or finding a new solution out there. It's about finding the blocks that stop me from being that best person that I can be. So the challenges that come with business, having a terrific team of people around you makes a huge difference. Because then you're getting information from different sources that you trust. So you get you get information that helps make a shift or a change within the policy and how you're functioning. But really, if there's challenges in business, that means it's a challenge with me, and I got to work through what's going on with me. Mm-hmm. As an example, one of the things that we needed to do for this new hard coat was we needed a loan. We didn't want to self-fund anymore. We've been self-funding this all along, but it was time for us to get a loan. And we got the largest loan that we've ever taken in business. And for me, it was really scary. I want to be a good steward. I want to make sure that we can pay back what we owe. I want to, you know, I want to make sure that that I have the right cash flow. That's part of my responsibility and overseeing the company, is making sure that our finances are in good shape and that we can take care of everything we need to take care of along the way. And so then it's really about my personal growth, about my worthiness. It then becomes about knowing and getting the tools that I need for having those money skills. It's about, so every challenge that comes up, it's about how am I going to look at how I'm going to address the situation. And I have to rise up. I have to become better. I have to take a look inside myself and see what's stopping me from being able to address whatever challenge is going on. So there's always challenges. Mm-hmm. I think ultimately, though, it comes back to knowing yourself and looking within. And when there is a problem, if I do get angry or do get frustrated, recognizing that that is a flag, and to step away and to think again and to go within and to really find and again look into that emotional intelligence and find out how can I progress in a positive way that's going to impact the company and impact the people around me in a way that's meaningful. Mm-hmm. And be able to shift and make those changes as we go.
Yeah. So I see a theme emerging here. Mm. When you're faced with challenge, one of the first places you go is you.
Yes.
You know, regardless, it's not finger pointing. It's not blaming. I'm not even hearing excuses. It's like, you know what? Something's going on and I need to look within.
Yes.
And figure it out.
Yes. And this is how we run our company. Mm-hmm. So my husband, he looks at it the same way. And the kids, they look at it the same way. If we have blocks to something, then it's up to us to remove the blocks and create a clearer vision.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself to be a leader?
Yes, I do.
And what is your definition of leadership?
So I think my definition of leadership is that leadership is a practice and leadership is a choice. And leadership is a skill and it takes a lot of work. I think that honesty and integrity is part of being a leader. I think that inspiring others means leadership. I think that commitment and passion is part of being a leader. Of course, good communication, decision-making capabilities, accountability, delegation and empowerment, creativity and innovation, and definitely transparency. Mm-hmm. So those are, to me, those are the kind of the tenets or the points that our company and our who we are, this is what we function from.
Right. What motivates you and drives you to be a leader? And we're going to talk about other things that you do for the community as well.
Okay.
But really, the way that you're speaking about leadership and your role with your company and your role with your family, you know, it's not just you showing up and running a company every day.
No.
You know, you've definitely embraced this way of life.
Yes.
Right? It's a lifestyle for
you.
It's
a lifestyle.
And, you know, have you always been that way? Is this something
that you had to learn? I think it was born in me.
Yeah.
I really do. I think it was born in me. I think I recognized it at a young age. My parents were entrepreneurs. My father was an inventor. You know, my husband's an inventor, so there's a little similarity there.
Right.
But yeah, the work ethic is something that has been very strong in me my entire life. And I think that enlightenment was something that came very naturally. I was living in San Diego and, you know, there was a lot of New Age movement happening. And after my father passed when I was 15, I had a lot of challenges, emotional challenges, and I wanted to work through them. I didn't want to stuff my feelings and everything that was going on with me. I wanted to work it out. And in the beginning, I worked it out in some awkward ways, but you know what? It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had lots of awkward moments in my life, and it is what it is. You know, we're, I guess, perfectly imperfect as humans. And but I think when I look back and still today, just the desire to do better and be better, you know, that saying, Maya Angelou, when you know better, you do better. So acquiring information that works for you, acquiring the skills that it takes to know yourself and be able to communicate with yourself well and be able to then in turn be able to communicate with the world around you. That's something that's born in me.
Yeah. And when you say that, it makes me think about the leadership question, which is, do you think leaders are born or made? What do you think about that?
I think it's both.
Mm-hmm.
I think it really is both. I mean, it may have been born in me, but if I didn't follow that, if I did something that was untrue to myself, which many people do because they feel like they have to or they need to, and that's okay. But if I didn't work at it, then I wouldn't be where I am today. I wouldn't believe the things I believe today. So it's both. It's you. It's born in you and you make it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's a choice. You know, you don't have to, and you can choose not to, you know, if you know something about yourself and you can, you know, some people have to put things on the back burner sometimes and then let that marinate and let it work out in their life.
Yeah. Who or what motivates you personally?
A lot of things. I've said in the past that my kids are my why. What's true is my husband and my family are my why as well. Not just my kids, but my husband is a rock and just an amazing man. And the longer we're together, we're married 33 years this year. And every year that we're together, every day that we're together, I really am grateful for the good, the bad, and the ugly, because we learn from the bad as much as anything. And so I'd say that he is a very strong directive in my life. And, you know, we're lucky. We still have three of our four parents, and they're here in Vegas. And so that is a motivating factor. You know, take the care and maintenance of old people is really a new experience for me. And so it's a discovery every day of, you know, how can I show up? How can I serve? How can I, you know, best be of service today. So, and then the community around me, like you mentioned, Nabo, earlier, what inspires me are you. You inspire me for the work that you're doing, for how you're showing up for women and communities of people that need leadership. Your skill set is absolutely spot on. Amazing, and I love what you're doing. You inspire me and other women that are doing the kinds of things that help communities, help other people. Just absolutely, I love being around creative, energetic people that are doing their life experiencing and expressing what they've got within them. It's just, I'm motivated by fabulous people.
Right. Something that comes up often on this podcast with all of our guests is surrounding yourself with people who are going to push you or who motivate you.
Yes.
Or people who you can reach out to when you need help or when you're facing a challenge and you don't know what to do.
Yes.
Right. Having that core group of people that you trust is really key in business and in life.
Yes.
Yeah.
Agreed.
So we're talking a lot about support, and earlier support was really a cornerstone for your family business too. The fact that you all support one another, mm-hmm. and you know, you support so many in the community, mm-hmm. so many people in the community, including myself with mm-hmm. Spark Women's Retreat, which yes. so grateful for.
Yes.
We're really empowering women to be their best self. And you do other things in the community as well. Tell me about what you're up to.
Well, one of the newest things I'm looking at is being involved with a philanthropic group through the Jewish Federation. One of the things that they do is they educate children about the Holocaust, and how they do that is they bring the play, The Diary of Anne Frank, to the Smith Center, so that, and they bring busloads of children in, and it's a free thing for these kids to learn, to see this play and to learn and to plant a seed about humanity. So this is one of the things that I'm looking at now and getting involved in, because with the current state of things, instead of reeling out in hatred and words that I don't want coming out of my mouth, what I really want to do is I really want to educate. I really want to make sure that children learn and know about what happened in the past, and make sure that we don't do it again, because it's through the children, I think, that, you know, out of the mouths of babes, you know, when they're unfiltered, when they're younger, and then they learn new things, then they speak freely. And I think they'll stand up for injustice. So that's one of my newest things. Another program that we love to support is the Hero School and Tiger Todd, the work that they're doing to help in homelessness here in Las Vegas, and how they're helping people see that they're not what they think they are. People are only, I think homelessness is something that happens because people believe that they're that kind of person, where really all it takes is, again, taking off some of those blinders, and Tiger leads through education. He leads through helping people understand that they are not who they think they are. This is not who you really are. You're really this other person inside, and let's discover who that person is. And he empowers them by making sure that they get their ID, empowers them by helping to make sure that they've got, you know, some of the basics like food and clothing and shelter, and then, yes, that educational piece that helps them get out of the hole that they're in. So that's another program that we love to support. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, really enjoy going around to the different groups in town and being able to meet people. Very often I end up seeing some of the same people from NABO at some of these other events. And recently I did a talk on that mastermind and mentorship. That was really fun, too, through the Tuesdays Together program.
Yeah.
So, just trying to put myself out there in a positive way, in a philanthropic way, and bring positive change and positive vibes and good feelings and lots of good hugs to people that are doing great work.
Yeah. It certainly spreads, right?
It does
spreading
spread.
Through example.
Thank you for that. Yes, I think so. I think it is about being a good example, about being a good steward in your own life, and going out there and sharing that, for sure.
Mm-hmm. How do you choose the organizations that you want to support? There's so many out there, right?
Right.
So what do you do personally to make those decisions?
It's a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is. It's what resonates best with us. I mean, we also support other programs. We love the Animal Foundation, the local 501c3 here in Las Vegas. They have been through some changes and some challenges, and we still support them financially because we love animals, you know. And then the Save the Children Foundation is a long-standing charity that Frank and I have given to over the years. So, yeah, I think it's about what resonates with you, and how you feel about your life, what your life has been about, and then looking out and seeing who's doing those things that are making a difference in the world in a really positive way, making real change. I'm not talking about just giving somebody money to do something. No, it's about really making an impact, making real change. And that can, you know, just take a look at the person's company and you can see what they're doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We're going to move into some rapid fire questions.
Okay.
Tell me about a typical day for you. Do you have a routine that you go through or, you know, what does a typical day look like for Lil?
There is no typical day. sometimes, you know what, I when I wake up in the morning, I like to, some mornings it's about exercise and getting my exercise in first thing. Other mornings it's about making sure that I get my meditation time in or some journaling time in and connecting with that part of myself that, my inner self, my soul, my true me. I want that to be able to come out and shine. So I give it some time and attention so that I'm listening to myself and making sure that whatever's going on during the day that I'm staying connected to me so that whatever happens during the day, I can show up in my best self. And then it's off to the office. Sometimes it's about going off to meetings and engaging with other people. I went to a coffee and conversation NABO program a couple mornings ago. Jill Branson did a wonderful program on networking. And but it is about going into the office, connecting with the crew, who's ever there during the day. Sometimes it's about reaching out via phone call. And it's, mind you, I'm overseeing and managing a company now. I'm not doing everything that I used to do. Mm-hmm. I delegated a lot of my tasks to other people that are now employees. And so it's overseeing everything. So I have a little bit more freedom now, which is nice. And there are still days when, you know, of course, there are requirements for me in the office and I show up and do that. So it's about engaging with people. It's about engaging with the crew, the company. But it is about engagement in the community as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a little bit of all that. And then, of course, there's, you know, taco time. You know, we try to get a taco time in once a week.
And that's literally taco time, we get together and eat tacos. Yes.
it's also about shopping. It's also about cooking. One of my passions is cooking. I love to do that. It's kind of a white space for me where I can let things go and I don't have to do anything. And I get in this creative space and I love making beautiful food for my family. I always have. And so I love going out and getting yummy things from the grocery, coming home and making a lovely meal for the family. Where sometimes it's about us getting together and everybody eating, but a lot of times it's just we're very casual and it's whenever anybody shows up, there's food to eat. So there's that piece too, and every week, almost every day. Mm-hmm. So
would you say that those are the things that you also do to practice self-care?
Yes. Yes, indeed it is, for sure. And then I also have my other business, you know, which is my side hustle, as Ruthie would say, Ruth Furman.
Is it really a side hustle? It seems to me like just something. I realize you do it on the side.
Yeah.
But you really love it.
I do. It's my original passion. My aesthetic work, I got licensed when I was 20. And I'm 54 now, so it's a long time I've been doing facials and waxing and all of that. And I've, you know, practiced for at least 20-some years of those years. I took a few off to raise my kids at home. I was at home actually 10 years. And I volunteered during those years with my kids, but I was a stay-at-home mom for a long time. But is it really a side hustle? I don't know that it's a side hustle. I don't know that I'm looking to gain new clients or whatever at this point. And it kind of just pays for itself. It's not a practice that is, making me money, but it makes me very joyful. Mm-hmm. And that is very important. Mm-hmm. I think anything that you can do that helps bring you joy is a really good thing. I think joy is a spark of creative process and helps us in our personal life and our business life. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you get to choose the clients that you want to bring on.
Yes.
When, when in, well, here in your space, they come here, you know, that's a great way to connect with people too.
It is. It's an amazing way to connect. And it's a, so I believe I'm an empath and a sensitive, and the aesthetic world was a way for me to be able to practice. And I use energy, my personal energy, when I'm doing treatments. And it's definitely a way for me to connect individually with people and support and help people individually. And during the work that I do, there are things that go on in my heart and in my mind, that maybe the client doesn't necessarily know about, and they don't have to know about it. Sometimes I'll pick up on something and I'll, well, you know, we'll start a new conversation. Oh, what about that? You know, and then they'll talk about it. And sometimes she's able to work something out on the table, and that's wonderful. And sometimes it's just about sharing energy. So it's a vehicle for me to be able to continue my energy work, if you will.
Right. That connection.
Making that connection.
Yeah. Again, you know, you listen to yourself. It feels like a lot in the decisions that you make in the life that you've created for yourself.
Yes, indeed. You know, it's intentional.
Yes.
My life is very intentional and has been for a long time. I think that it's just the way I want it. Mm-hmm. You know, I want my life to be intentional. I mean, of course, there's things that happen. I was going to pick up Dana the other day. We were going to go meet with one of the councilwomen over in Henderson. And I pull up and hit the curb, and my tire gets punctured. And Dana ends up driving us instead of me driving us. And that was wonderful and fantastic. And I got back and I had a flat tire. My son came out, put the donut on my wheel, and I ended up with a set of new tires. You know, not everything happens intentionally, and things happen as they happen, and then we deal with them as we go. And so, of course, unintentional things happen during the day, and I sometimes have to shift my schedule to take care of the emergency. And luckily, I'm able to do that. I've set my life up so that I can do that. Mm-hmm. So that I have the room and the space to be able to do what I need to do as I do it.
Right. And that's what you mean by intentional.
That's what I mean by intentional.
Yeah. Yeah. So I see you have a book that you brought with you.
One of my favorites.
That's one of my favorites too. That's a classic.
This Four Agreements, I never get tired of this book. And it seems like, and I'm in the middle, see, I'm in the process of reading it again. It's transformational. Don't you think? It's like, okay, so the first one is be impeccable with your word. If we're impeccable with our word and speak with integrity and we say only what we mean, and avoid using the word to speak against yourself or to gossip about others, using the power of your word in the direction of truth and love, it will transform your life. Right? Those are powerful words. Mm-hmm. Don't take anything personally. You know, nothing others do is because of you. Wow. Mm-hmm. That's a revelation. Mm-hmm. Just that line alone. That's a revelation. Nothing others do is because of me. Okay, well, so then we're all living in our own dream state. We're all living in our own bubble, in our own world. And if somebody says something to me that doesn't resonate, wow, that's not about me. That's about them and their perception. They're projecting their ideas about what they think, what they're perceiving, onto me. Do I accept that if it's not true? No, I don't accept that. And it's okay. You can have your opinion, but that is not who I am. Right? Mm-hmm. So what others do and say is a projection of their own reality and their own dream. When you are immune to the opinions and action of others, you won't be the victim of needless suffering. Emotional suffering. I mean, I think we all suffer so emotionally, you know, over things that maybe what somebody has said or what we think somebody has meant. And really, when we get over that, there is no suffering from that angle. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And don't make assumptions. This was so important for me. Find the courage to ask the questions and to express what you really want. Communicate with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstandings, sadness, and drama. With just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life. So it does take courage to look within and to find the right questions to ask. That is a journey for me. That is something that I work at on a regular basis, is being able to, how do I ask the right question to get the answer that I really need? Not only from outside of me, but internally, from inside, asking the right questions. And then always do your best.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes you're going to do your best, or you show up differently every day. Every day is a little bit different for everybody. And it says here, you know, it's different from when you're healthy as opposed to sick. So if you show up, you're not feeling great that day, you know what? You maybe not give 100%. Maybe you're going to give 80% that day. But under any circumstance, simply do your best and you will avoid self-judgment, self-abuse, and regret.
Mm-hmm.
That ends needless suffering, don't you think?
It does. That is a book that I used to read every year, and I need to really get back to that. So I remember when I first purchased it, it was more like an eye-opening experience to read.
Yeah.
And then every time I read it, I get something new out of it, mm-hmm. depending on where I am in my life, mm-hmm. you know. And now it serves as reminders for me. I look at that book as just kind of a back to basics.
Mm-hmm.
It's so simple. It's well written. It's easy to read.
Yes. Small. Mm-hmm.
Have you ever read The Mastery of Love by that same author?
I have the cards over there too. Yes.
Yeah. It's really
and
really
also good. The Fifth Agreement by his son.
I haven't read that one.
Yep.
Yeah. Are you reading any other books? Or
I just got done reading The Choice by Dr. Edith Eva Egger. She's a Holocaust survivor,
mm-hmm.
91 years old. First time she ever wrote a book.
Wow.
I know, 91. Right? 91. Don't let your music die while it's still in you. You know, that's Dr. Wayne Dyer. She knew that she needed to write a book, and she was getting, you know, I mean, she's lived so long, but she wrote this book. She's been out there speaking about her experience in Auschwitz for many, many, many years, but she finally got this book written, and it is a powerhouse of a book.
I bet.
Just absolutely amazing, called The Choice. And then I just got done reading also The Beautiful No by Sherry Salata.
I've been wanting to read that one.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It really is. And Ruth Furman's hooking me up with some tickets to see her for my birthday weekend in September. So I'm super excited.
Oh, that's fantastic.
I'm going to get to listen to her speak in person.
Yeah. And Ruth is also another NABO member.
Yes.
And a part of your media team. Correct?
She is part of our media team. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She is our strategist, our media strategist.
Yeah. Yeah. What app do you use on your phone most often?
Well, apps are a real thing, and I probably my Power Hour 360 app, because that's how I schedule my classes.
Okay.
That is the app that I use the most.
And what classes are those?
Power Hour 360 is a workout session. So I go show up, and they torture us.
Isn't that funny? You show up and pay to be tortured.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a, you know, 24, 25 minutes of cardio. And then you have a treadmill work and whatever level you want to function at. And then rowing. And it's fabulous. And you sweat balls. Oh, God. You sweat so much. And then they do a 24 minutes or 25 minutes on the floor. And it's different. Sometimes it's circuit training. Sometimes it's at your station. And you do all it's strength training and functional. It's functional exercise is what it is. It's strengthening your core, getting everything, all your muscles working. And I absolutely love it. I get sore afterwards, and then that's the self-care. Okay, what do I need today? Oh, I guess I'm going to get in the far infrared sauna today and stretch, or I really need a salts bath, or
right.
Oh, I need a massage, and sometimes it's just about my own self-care. You know, I've got the CBD oils from Taya Thompson and Crooked Cactus, and I use those. I was using it this morning. Actually, I've got a sore spot in the back of my leg. So it's being aware of your body and taking care of it. But yeah, Power Hour 360 app. That's the app I use the most.
I have to say it's a first. It's the first time on this show that anybody has said my exercise app, my self-care app is my first go-to app.
That's it.
Yeah.
I don't really use apps.
Yeah. How do you organize your day for work?
You know, we do a weekly meeting. And we have all of our tasks and stuff. And then my Google Calendar tells me every day what I need to do. Mm-hmm. Maybe, is that an app?
It is. I mean,
okay, so the Google Calendar app is the other. I actually use that then more than the Power Hour 360.
Okay,
because I go to my calendar every day, several times a day, looking at the things that are laid up in it and what I need to do and how I need to show up. So, yeah, what's on my calendar is totally connected to what I wear that day.
Okay. Yeah.
oh, it's a day in the office. That means I can wear, you know, like clothes that I wouldn't be seen in the grocery store.
Mm-hmm. Right. Because you know who you'll be around. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like the pajamas, wearing the pajamas, but not quite.
Something just enough you can get away with.
Just
right?
enough I can get away with. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So I'm curious to know, what is your advice for anybody who, you know, somebody comes to them with a business idea, and they start to think, oh, I think I can solve this challenge, or I can, you know, rise to the occasion of whatever this idea might be. How do I get started if I want to move forward with potentially going down the road of business ownership with a new idea?
You know, that's a great question. And there are many resources here in town for business women and men to be able to tap into. Some of them are free resources. SCORE, S-C-O-R-E, is an acronym, and it's retired officers of business. And they have sometimes free, sometimes very low nominal charge, just about everything you would want to know and how to run a business. They have mentors there for you to be able to talk to, and all kinds of classes for you to get educated about, reading a spreadsheet, or, you know, that was one of their most recent ones. But they also have networking programs. They also have programs on just how to start a business, you know, because there's a lot to do. People don't realize. When our daughter opened up Tough Skin of Southern California LLC, she came to me, I don't know, a couple weeks ago and said, Mom, I just really want to tell you, you know, I didn't realize what it really took to run a business. You know, she's been doing sales out there, doing all of her brilliant work and connecting with people and getting projects done and started and completed and interfacing with all the people that it takes to do that. But she never really understood what it took to run a business. Now that she's got her own LLC, she sees the depth of what it takes. And I mean, it's not for sissies. It really isn't. I mean, corporate sometimes can look really good because with corporate, you show up, you do your work, and you get to leave. As an entrepreneur, let me ask you, does Spark Leadership Development Retreat ever leave your mind?
Never. Always thinking about it.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, and the other programming that you drive, those things never leave you.
Yeah, I kind of differentiate it this way. When I worked for other people, it was stressful, but it was somebody else's stress.
Right.
This is all mine.
Yes.
And it's different.
It's different.
Yeah. You feel the downs, you feel the ups, and sometimes they're very extreme.
Yes.
And everything in between.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah.
So there are other resources. Please feel free to reach out to me. I'll give you my email address. It's Lelia, L-E-L-I-A, at toughskinprotection.com, T-U-F-F-S-K-I-N-protection.com. And if you want to get connected with somebody that can connect you to resources, feel free to reach out to me, because that's my job at NABO. Mm-hmm. Through NABO, the National Association of Women Business Owners, is really all about making sure that there's resources available to people in business. So there's many, many ways to get what you need. And if you've got an idea, that's great. I'm maybe not the person to talk to in regards to resonating, you know, with you on that, but I can connect you with somebody, a real business mentor that has the ability to be able to help guide you in knowing if that is right for you or not.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Well, that's just all so fantastic. And thank you so much for sharing your personal story, all about Tough Skin, and everything you do for the community. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Cree. It's a pleasure.
It's always a joy to hear Lil's perspective on how she shows up with intention. Links to everything shared by Lil can be found in the show notes. And to learn more about her family-owned business, visit toughskin.com. That's TUFFSKIN.com. If you've not done so yet, one small action that makes a huge difference for our show is to leave us a review wherever you listen to our podcast. This helps people find us. I'm your host, Cree Edholm. Thanks as always for tuning in, and I'll see you on the next episode.